going to look at baptism as so many people getting baptized today. I thought it'd be really good just to share the whole issue of baptism and coming from a perspective on what baptism is. Hebrews 6:1. So it says, leaving the elementary teachings about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works, faith towards God, and instructions about baptisms. So some of these things about baptisms, plural, are foundational things. And when you lay a foundation, you build on it, and you continue building on it, and your life rests on it. You know, if you build a foundation of a building, the building remains on that foundation for the time it exists. So the foundations we lay in our lives are something we can build on. And there are a number of things. Baptisms is one of those foundations. Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. So this was Jesus sending his disciples out just before he went back into heaven, and he commissioned them to make disciples. And disciples were those who were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Spirit. So that baptism is when we enter into something new. And the name carries a true record of who God is. So when we're baptized into his name, whether Father, Son, or Spirit, we're baptized into him. That means we're baptized into God's character, his nature, his personality, and then we can experience that and be like him, because that's his intention, that we actually are like him. But being baptized into his name is the experience of his name. And whether you've been baptized for a long time, I've nearly been baptized for 40 years, so it's a long time ago. I'm sure that over the years, our experience of what we did then has changed. Because I've got baptized for obedience, because I saw it in the Bible and I wanted to be obeying God. But I realize so much more now than what I did then. And I'd encourage you not to see it as something you did many years ago or a few years ago, but something you are living in now. And we're baptized into his name. And we know the name of Yahweh, or the Yod, He, Vav, He, is the name of God that was used in the Holy of Holies by the high priests, and the presence of God manifested when they began to sing and chant his name. So that recognition of who God is, his four faces, the lion, the ox, the eagle, the man, the representation of the kingly, apostolic, prophetic, and priestly functions are what we get when we are baptized into his name. And we are then in his name. So it's not just Yod, He, Vav, He, but Yod, He, Shin, Vav, He. And Shin is the Hebrew letter that has a representation of us, body, soul, and spirit. And so we are in him, not just in relationship with him, but actually in him. And of course, he is in us when we open up our heart to him. So we're authorized then as sons in his name. Therefore, we have power of attorney to use that name as if it was our name. And it says in the Bible a lot about in the name of Jesus. And you know, we tend to use that as something we tag on to the end of a prayer, in Jesus' name. But in reality, it's so much more than that. It means that we have the power to do the things that we did, and even greater things, as it says in John 14:12. So it's important to understand when we're baptized, it's not just we get wet or we just leave things behind, but we go into a new level of relationship. So baptized into the Holy Spirit, into righteousness, peace, and joy, into Jesus, into the way, the truth, and the life, into the Father, into judgment, justice, and holiness. And they are attributes that the being in him will bring to us so we can live in those things. But when we're baptized into him and we are in him, we are literally clothed or skinned with armor. Now, when you get baptized, often it becomes a time of testing. So we need to know our authority of being baptized in him and in that armor that we have. Romans 13:12, put on the armor of light So when we are in him and we have the armor of light around us, and in history, in a Roman soldier, they had three levels of armor. They had a tunic, a white tunic, which protected the chainmail, which came next, and then came an outer armor and breastplate and helmet and those things. It was because they needed those three levels of armor to defend themselves in different ways. So when we have the armor of light and we are in light, we have no need to fear anything, no darkness, because light always outshines and removes darkness. If you have a pitch black room and you light a tiny candle, then it's no longer dark. And the greater the light, the greater dimension that you can see. So we have the armor of light. 2 Corinthians 6:7, we have the armor of righteousness. So we have no need to fear, no need to fear sin, guilt, shame, condemnation, our past catching up with us, because it's been wiped out and we've been made righteous. So God only sees us in robes of white righteousness, no sin, because he sees us through who we are now, clothed in him. So we have been made righteous, then we can put on the full armor of God. Then we need to fear no attack, no temptation, no deception, because we have the armor of God on us. The helmet of salvation to protect our minds. We have the breastplate of righteousness to protect our hearts. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, to defend ourselves. So when Jesus was baptized and he was led then into the wilderness and he was tempted and tested by the enemy, he had the power of the word of God to defeat the enemy right there and then. And should the enemy try and test when we're baptized, then we need to know our authority and we need to know the power we have in the name of Jesus with his power of eternity, because he came to destroy all the works of the evil one. So in our own lives, when we're baptized, just let us know that we carry and are in that whole dimension of authority and power. So when we're baptized in the name, there's also a sense of a transfer of title or ownership. When you have a house, you have deeds to the house, and you transfer the deeds to the new owner of the house when you sell it. When you have a car, there's a form for the DVLA that you have to fill in to transfer the ownership of that car to someone else. When we are baptized, we are transforming and transferring, if you like, the ownership of our life to God. What we're saying is, according to 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. So baptism is that point where we surrender and we actually say, I belong to you. Romans chapter 6 is the key chapter when it comes to baptism and understanding baptism. Verse 3 says, do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus, have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too walk in newness of life. That is resurrection life. It's a new life. It's that new creation life that we have. And when we're baptized into his death, we embrace the cross. Jesus died on the cross. 1 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So that's a place of exchange where we exchange the old for the new. When we embrace the cross, when we go under the waters of baptism into death, we are receiving the power and victory of the cross into our lives. So before, where there's sin and sickness, death, the old life, bondage to sin, old nature, being guilty, condemned, sinful, being judged, slaves to sin, that might have been our old life, but when we embrace the power and the victory of the cross, we can receive forgiveness and health, a new life out of death, a new life from the old life, freedom from sin, a new nature, innocent, not guilty, acquitted, not condemned, righteous, not sinful, justified, not judged, servants of righteousness, not slaves to sin. It's a really good deal. You give all the rubbish and you get all the good stuff, but you have to give it up. If you keep hold of it, then it still carries on affecting our lives. So we have to acknowledge and come to that place of the cross, not just once at baptism, but every day subsequently, and surrender and embrace the power and the victory of the cross in our lives, the fact that we are new creations and we have new creation life. Now I want to read Romans chapter 6 in the Message version of the Bible, because I believe it's really descriptive for what a new life and what an old life is. Verse 1 says, so what do we do? Keep on sinning so that God can keep on forgiving? I should hope not. We've left the country where sin is sovereign. How can we still live in our old house there? So it's describing our life like living in a country, in a house in that country. How can we still live in our old house? Or didn't you realize that we packed up and left there for good? That is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we came up out of the water, we entered into a new country of grace, a new life in a new land. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we're raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in our new grace-sovereign country. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ, a decisive end to that sin, miserable life. No longer at sin's every beck and call, what we believe is this: if we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him, but alive he brings God down to us and brings us up to God. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language. That means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. Romans 6, 12 to 14, carrying on. That means that you must not give sin a vote in the way that you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with the old way of life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. So since we're out from under the old tyranny, does that mean we can live any old way we want? Since we're free in the freedom of God, can we do anything that comes to mind? Hardly. You know well enough from your own experience that there are some acts of so-called freedom that destroy freedom. But offer yourselves to the ways of God, and the freedom never quits. All your lives you've let sin tell you what to do, but thank God you've started listening to a new master, one whose commands set you free to live openly in his freedom. I'm using this freedom language because it's easy to picture. You can readily recall, can't you, how at one time the more you did just what you felt like doing, not caring about others, not caring about God, the worse your life became and the less freedom you had. And how much different is it now as you live in God's freedom, your lives healed and expansive in holiness? As long as you did what you felt like doing, ignoring God, you didn't have to bother with right thinking or right living or right anything for that matter. do you call that a free life? What did you get out of it? Nothing you're proud of now. Where did it get you? A dead end. And many of you who will get baptized today know what that dead end's like. But now you've been found, you don't have to listen to sin tell you what to do. And I've discovered the delight of listening to God telling you, what a surprise. A whole, healed, put together life right now with more and more life on the way. Work hard for sin your whole life and your pension is death. But God's gift is real life, eternal life, delivered by Jesus our Master. Now that is a powerful description of baptism and the life that baptism gives us every day. In Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, repent, each of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. So it is a wiping out of the past. But this is a good part of it. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So baptism is not just about what you let go of. It's about what you receive now. Luke 4:1, and Jesus was led up by the Spirit after his baptism. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, where all debts are canceled. That's the power of the Spirit that you can receive. Jesus died for me, he died for you as our substitute. He took the penalty that sin had, the wages of sin is death, and he paid for it on the cross. He dealt with the past. But Jesus also died as me, as my representative, so the power of sin is broken over us in the present. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lived. That's the old way of living. But Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live, the new way of living, in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So God loved us so much that he went to the cross to give us the opportunity of new life. Are we willing to surrender to him? Because that's the implication. If I embrace the cross, it's a place of surrender. Now, the question some people ask is, well, okay, what if I sin? What happens if I make a mistake, if I mess up in the future? Well, don't cover up. Run to God. Adam and Eve made a big mistake when they sinned. They ran into the bushes and tried to make a covering out of the leaves. It didn't get them too far. So if you do mess up, and we all do at times, run to God. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because we have relationship with him, we can run to him, not from him. Don't let fear, guilt, shame, condemnation separate you from the love of God. Because God loves you, even when we mess up, he has made a way for us to come to him because he sees us as righteous anyway. We just have to acknowledge that and receive that. Be accountable. If you're struggling in an area of your life, be accountable to somebody else. Share it with them and help each other to walk these things out. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That's where relationships and accountability are. Don't struggle on your own. Share your burdens with one another and support each other. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin when we're open and honest. Don't hide. Luke 9:23, and this is the ongoing daily relationship. He was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. So the more we give our lives to him, the more he gives us back. So it's a daily relationship, applying baptism every day, embracing the river of life and that life in him. Now, this is the experience that Jesus has, and this is the experience that God wants every single person to have daily as we recognize that we can walk in the river of life and embrace it. Matthew 3:16. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That's the experience that we can all have every day. We live under an open heaven. The Holy Spirit is not just on us, but in us. And God speaks to us. "You are my beloved children, and I'm pleased." He's always pleased. He's always smiling. He always has a good countenance and is always in a good mood. Religion will tell you opposite and otherwise, that he's miserable, angry, and is waiting to punish you. He is always smiling, always loving, and always waiting for you to come into a relationship. He's always in a good mood, so don't be in a bad mood with him. Allow that good mood to be the pattern for your life as you surrender to him on a regular basis. So we're baptized into him, in Christ, in Jesus. It is an experiential encounter. So today, when you engage baptism, maybe you've been baptized for many years like me, when you engage every day the presence of God in the river of life, you can experience the reality of that baptism. Experience what it is for heaven to be opened, for the Spirit to be filling you, and for the voice of God to affirm who you are. Now we're going to just practice that for a few minutes, and I just want those who are being baptized to just contemplate what this is going to mean to you today, and just be open to receive God's words as he speaks them over you. For those of you who've been baptized for many years, perhaps, just let there be a fresh connection, an experience of that baptism today. Remember again that heaven's windows are open, but he's pouring out a river of life today. And I want you to, all of us, just to stand before the cross right now and just contemplate what Jesus did. Contemplate the power and the victory of his cross. Contemplate the exchange of the old for the new. And as we just close our eyes and just step into that place where we engage the very cross, just begin to cultivate that desire. What is it going to be like after we're baptized? What is our daily experience of new life, of resurrection life, going to be about? What do you want to let die when you go under that water? Whether it's for the first time today, whether it's for the thousandth time, what new life are you going to receive? What's going to be restored in resurrection? Maybe you want to be filled with his love, or his joy, or his peace, or just receive his blessing day by day. Just spend a few moments just cultivating, visualizing what this new life is going to be for you. What is it specifically going to mean for you to embrace the waters of baptism? And then just picture yourself standing in that river that's being poured out from heaven. Being immersed in that river of life, that living water. Heaven is open over you right now. The Spirit is resting upon you, bringing you into that place of peace, joy, love. And God is just going to speak His words of affirmation over you. Just listen to His words as He speaks and affirms you. Just open up your hearts, open up your minds, open up your spirit to receive the words that He's going to speak. Whether this is going to be the first day or many days, just receive these words. Let these words resonate in your spirit. I declare that you are my beloved son, and I'm well pleased with you. I call you my child, and I am your father. You are mine, and I am yours. I legitimize you as my child. I call forth your spiritual destiny. I call forth your spirit to listen, come to attention, and listen to my words. Listen with your spirit to the words that I, your Heavenly Father, have for you. The Spirit of your Father gives witness to your spirit that you are my child. I bless your spirit with the spirit of sonship and the mindset of sonship. I bless you with a deep heart identity as my very own child, securely loved in my family. I bless you with the settled assurance that I have a future and a hope for you. With love, I have written all your days in your book for your blessing and my glory. I bless you with the deep knowledge that I know what you need, and I have all the resources of the universe to meet that need. Listen with your spirit to my words for you. My spirit testifies to your spirit that you are my child. I bless you with ears to hear the testimony of the seven spirits of God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of knowledge, of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, and the very fear of the Lord. You have ears to hear their testimony of who you are. I bless you with the ability to be tuned in to me, with eyes for seeing, ears for hearing, and a mind for understanding, according to the flow of the Spirit. I bless you with being led by the fullness of my Spirit of truth, to see things as I see them in the heavenly realms. I bless you with the deep knowledge that you are an heir with your brother Jesus to all my treasuries. I bless you with the confidence that you lack for nothing, for all that you need, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, and practically. You have more than enough. I bless you with the sure understanding that I want you to have my blessings and my glory and to possess your birthright. I bless you with a desire to press forward and to see and experience the glory that I'm revealing in you, around you, through you, as you take up your inheritance as my child. I bless you with a heart that does not rebel or shrink back from the opportunities that I put before you daily. I bless you with a hunger for the manifestation of my glory day by day in you and through you to the world around you. I declare that you're no longer a slave, an orphan, or a victim, I declare that you are mine and I am yours. I am your inheritance and you are my inheritance. I declare that I am your father and you are my child. I give you access to your heavenly home. I give you access to the river and tree of life and the throne of grace in Eden, my heavenly garden. And I call you to be a gateway of heaven on the earth. You are my child, and I call you to be displayed as a mature son on the earth. And just let those words resonate in your spirit. Your spirit has received those words today, and they will carry on vibrating with a frequency that will release the revelation of those words to you day by day, as you live under an open heaven, as you live with the presence of the Holy Spirit, as you live with the voice of your Father resonating within your spirit with the frequency and power of those words that call you into sonship and release you to be a son on earth as it is in heaven, as you live in the Father, Son, and Spirit, clothed with him in the armor of God, with the power of his name, a new life in a new country, with a new language, with new purpose,